Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find, for the fun of it, kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Yo, welcome to the NS9 post-game show powered by Permane Brothers. I am your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Jim. Jim, no sandwiches today. Sorry, everybody. No sandwiches.
No sandwiches. And another game where the bats just were quiet. And you felt like today could have been a day to do it. Once you saw who the Brewers were sending out there. But 2 runs, and they all came on 1 swing of the bat. Nothing else happening in the other 31 at-bats.
You are right about that. No, literally, today just reminded me of, again, like, how are we going to start the show? Well, the pitching did enough to win the game once again. I mean, today was, we thought it was going to be Quinn Priester to begin with. Then you saw Fleming was getting the start. So my mind went directly that it was going to be a, more or less like he was going to be the opener for Quinn Priester. And they announced it was going to be a straight bullpen game. That made me a little bit nervous here. But again, what we're talking about, the pitching was, they did enough to keep this team in the game and win it. The offense just could not do anything to go ahead and get that win. So Pirates lose 3-2. Like you mentioned, the offense just was not there again today. It's been the story for some time.
Yeah, I mean it was kind of the same thing. We're now on, what is this, 9 games in a row, basically, where the Pirates offense has just been non-existent. They were able to win game 1 of this series. You know, they broke through for 4 runs. But outside that, they haven't been able to squeak by more than 2 runs in a game. And it's frustrating because you mentioned the pitching, right? Like the pitching was shaky today. Like Fleming, Ortiz, Contreras, Stratton, it was a bullpen game. It was shaky. Like none of those guys looked particularly sharp, but all in all, Ortiz gives up an earned run. Fleming gives up 2 unearned runs. The pitching did fine. They did more than enough to win this game, and the offense again, just struggling. And 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. They never even really got anybody in scoring position. Again, like no one driving the ball outside of that 1 swing from Brian Reynolds. Luckily, there was somebody on base. Otherwise, that would have been the only run of the game.
Right. 100%. The one thing was, like, the past few games, it looked like it was coming together. The offense, you know, like statistically and by runs, it wasn't there. But the offense, to me, just looked better than it did the week before. And today it just seemed like it just went right back to where it was. I mean, 8 strikeouts, that's not terrible. Like, we'll say that 8 strikeouts isn't terrible, but this team's problem is just they don't hit the ball particularly well. The biggest proponents of that, is either pop up to the catcher or ground ball to the pitcher, Rowdy Tellez, and, you know, ground out to third base, Henry Davis. And it seemed as if, for the most part, like, that just continued today. You know, that's, again, like, that's part of the team problem is, I mean, again, they don't put the ball over the fence enough. Yes, finally another home run today by Ryan Reynolds, but that's his third on the year. You would expect him to have more than that. And it seems like everyone else is just putting the ball on the ground or popping up. Just not good contact being made.
Yeah. I'm not going to say a bad thing about Brian Reynolds. you know, he had another good game today. He went 1-for-3 with a walk, a homer. He's got a 1.26 weighted runs created plus on the year. OPS hovering right around 800. He's the only guy on this team right now who's like consistently playing pretty well. I mean, 1.26 weighted runs created plus. He's having a better season so far than his typical career. He's playing better than he would typically. So, he's doing great. And again, he that home run he hit today, got all of it. Nice swing. He's putting together good at bats. He's walking a lot. He's not striking out. Honestly, this is some of the best Brian Reynolds play I've seen just like consistently. We've seen him get like really, really hot. But he just seems like he's in a really good spot right now. He's really comfortable and he's just super consistent night in and night out. So, but that's it. That's it right now. Everybody else going through some struggles. I mean, up and down the lineup, Brian Hayes 0-for-4, Jack Sawinski 1-for-4. He did get a double tonight. Edward Olivares 0-for-4, Triolo 0-for-3, Davis 1-for-3 with the big double play, O'Neill Cruz 1-for-4, Tellez 0-for. I mean, it's just up and down the lineup. Just these guys aren't driving the ball. Brian Hayes and Henry Davis, I'm going to kind of pick on the two of them for a little bit. Between the two of them, they've got 177 plate appearances this year, zero home runs.
Yeah.
And those are two guys, like, you expected Hayes isn't a home run guy, but you expect to get some power out of him, especially after what we saw last year. Henry Davis is somebody who you expected to get power out of, and you're getting nothing from either of those two guys when it comes to actually producing offense. Hayes is getting on base at a decent clip, but that's it. He's not really doing anything else right. And then Rowdy Tellez, just a disaster so far of a season he's having. He makes the error today. Without the Rowdy Tellez error, the Pirates don't even give up a run. Like, the Pirates win 2-0 today without a Rowdy Tellez error. He's popping up at least half the time. He's been pathetic. He's been pathetic. Isn't just an easy way to put it. 505 OPS. Wait, no, 605. 605 OPS right now for Rowdy Tellez. Awful baseball.
Who? What? Rowdy doesn't have a 605.
505 OPS. My bad. 505.
Right. Yeah. You better, because that's a big difference. We are literally talking about Rowdy Tellez is entering the 400 territory.
Yeah. Bad. So bad.
Right. By the way, I'm noticing something here. We talk about this, you know, the NS9 postgame show is like somewhat dubbed like, you know, the group therapy session. I feel like this is a therapy session for you right now, Jim. You're kind of going off there. You need this vent. So I'm letting you have that floor there. Seems like there's some stuff bottled up.
My main venting right now is like, yeah, like Rowdy Tellez has been terrible.
Yeah.
And he keeps getting trotted out there in the leadoff spot, and it's not working. Every game, he's 0-for or 1-for every single game. And if he does get a hit, it's a single. The dude has one extra base hit on the season. One extra base hit on the season. He's your first baseman. You signed this guy because of his power upside potential.
That's all I kept hearing.
And because he was cheap. But you signed him because, hey, you know what? There's some power in there. The dude hit 35 homers 2 years ago. He has one extra base hit and 77 plate appearances. Just pathetic baseball. He's playing terrible defense. Like, I think he's probably playing better defense than we thought, but it's still bad. It's still bad defense. Like, we lost today because Rowdy Tellez gave up an error. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you could say they didn't hit enough, but Rowdy Tellez doesn't make that error, the Pirates win. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that contributed to the loss, but geez, he's been awful. And my dude, Henry Davis, who I will defend him to the death, but it's time for Henry Davis to go to AAA. It's time for Henry Davis to go to AAA. Whatever he's doing up here, it's not working. He needs to go to Indianapolis and just focus on, hey, you know what? I'm going to go down here. I'm going to mash some AAA pitching. I'm going to focus on my catching where it's not like a huge high leverage situation every single time. And then maybe bring him up later. But if Yasmani, I mean, I'm not a fan of Yasmani Grandal, but if Yasmani Grandal is ready, it's time for Henry Davis to go to Indy. It's time for Grandal to come up.
I think the post game show is over. You've covered everything that needed to be said today. I don't have much to add to that. I mean, you're 100% correct. And like with the Rowdy listing, it's what, 4 hits in the last 38 plate appearances. And I don't know what the exact number is. It's gotta be like right around 20% strikeout rate to go to what you're saying. Like, it's not like he's striking out. It's not like Rowdy Tellez is walking up there, hacking away and striking out. He's making contact. It's just, he can't make good contact. And as you're saying, and we're seeing pop-ups right and left, or just a weak dribbler that can't even reach the grass. It's all in the infield. So this is the guy that you chose, right? You had a choice. He was a choice. You chose to sign Rowdy Tellez as your first baseman. And of all the signings, I felt we talked about this. Of all the signings, we liked them all in the vacuum. You know, we said what we said. The Rowdy one was the only one that we felt like we kind of had a little bit of issue with. And this is why. Now, granted, it is April 24th, okay? Like, if I'm going to try to be as rational as I can, it is April 24th, right? What you're saying about Rowdy Tellez, you can pretty much talk, and we have already, about three or four other guys in this lineup also, right? So as much time there is for them to turn around, there's time for him to turn around as well. The problem is, though, is, like we're saying, I don't know if I believe it. And the guys that you want and need to see turn around, like your O'Neal Cruz's, your Henry Davis's, your Trollos, like those are your prospects. You know, those are your prospects loosely. Those are your homegrown talents. Those are the guys that, you know, you're developing, you're bringing here, whatever. Rowdy Tellez is the guy that you could choose to sign whomever you wanted to play first base. You chose that guy. He can't be bad. Like, that's on you. Like, you chose that signing. He can't be this terrible. This is the year you're supposed to do something. You made that choice. That's on you. And here's how he's playing. So, like, that's why he, to me, it's a bigger disappointment, not in the sense that I was expecting more, but it's a bigger disappointment that, you know, you need these guys to develop and play better. And yes, they need to, but you understand those growing pains. That's why I kept talking about risk management this entire offseason. Like, you understand with these younger players, they're going to have this. So have safer guys that you know can even things out. So when they're having the struggles, you have a Brian Reynolds and I'm just saying this for the name of it, but a Rhys Hoskins, like someone else in that lineup to help stabilize it. Instead, you just added more to the risk. So now you have another guy who's 3 in his last 38 plate appearances, 4 in his last 38, who's just terrible like everyone else. So now you're just having a completely inept lineup. This is what you get.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent four-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Yeah. And like the worst part here is, like, you know, like we've been saying, the people that you're relying on, right? I think we all expected Rowdy Tellez to be bad. At least the, you know, us on this show. There were a few, you know, hopeful people out there, but for the most part, all of us, we thought Rowdy Tellez is going to be bad. And he is, right? But the issue is, Rowdy Tellez can be bad if everybody else who needs to be good is good. And right now, everybody who needs to be good is not being good. Like, Brian Reynolds is it. He is the one sole person who's doing what he's supposed to be doing in this lineup. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is underperforming. And that's across the board. I mean, Brian Hayes needs to be better. I'm not approaching like Ke'Bryan Hayes is terrible territory, but Ke'Bryan Hayes needs to start driving the ball. He's one barrel this year. I mean, he's like squared up one baseball, right? That's just not acceptable. Like he needs to be better. Swinski needs to be better. Cruz needs to be better. All these guys need to be better.
Agree. And to the Ke'Bryan Hayes situation, you know, he's a 3-WAR player, basically, regardless, because of the defense. Like, that's how we keep going. That's why you're not going to completely get down on Ke'Bryan Hayes and run him out of town, because there's still a lot of value there.
Yeah, there's value there.
When Rowdy Tellez is in hitting, well, he's negative value, right? When others, but like Ke'Bryan Hayes as a below average hitter is still a 2.5 to 3 WAR player if he plays a full season, right? So, like, that's why you're not going to get completely down on him in that sense as a player in totality. The issue is, it's about lineup construction, right? When everyone else is doing what they need to do, you can afford a Rowdy Tellez. Well, you like the Yankees could hide a Ke'Bryan Hayes, right? Like, that lineup is good. You have a Ke'Bryan Hayes there, give me 3 WAR. Like, you could do that, right? Problem is that this team can't afford to have Ke'Bryan Hayes do this, because you're just you can't hide 7 players.
Right. Like, I mean, if Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to be your 3-hitter, he can't be doing this. Like, he needs to be hitting.
Right.
Better, right.
Right.
But Ke'Bryan Hayes in his current, like the current version of Ke'Bryan Hayes is on pace for like a 2.5 win season. Right. And he's not even playing that well. He's not even playing that well defensively. Right.
Right.
So again, like, Ke'Bryan Hayes is perfectly fine in this lineup performing the way that he is. It's just when no one else is hitting, then you start noticing it because, well, no one's hitting, right? And Ke'Bryan Hayes is one of those guys not hitting. So they all need to be better. The pitching, again, I thought was super shaky tonight, but they got the job done. Like, if you want to just kind of go across the board, Josh Fleming, a hit, 2 walks, only struck out 1, got through the lineup 1 full time, pretty much. The 2 runs that were given up, you know, again, if Tellez doesn't make the error, it doesn't happen. Luis Ortiz, when he came in, had no idea where he was throwing the ball, right? He gives up 1 run, but ultimately he gets the game on the other side of the 5th inning with only giving up 3 runs as a team. He just gives up the 1 run. Contreras, again, didn't look good. He goes 2 scoreless. Hunter Stratton gives up 2 hits. He goes 2 scoreless. So, like, The bullpen game worked, right? 9 innings, 3 runs, all unearned.
Right.
I mean, it was a team ERA of 0 today. So yeah, it was an effective game from a pitching standpoint. What was it? They didn't look great doing it, but they pitched well enough to win. It was just the offense, just nothing. And Bryce Wilson was the Brewers starting pitcher today. I think that's the most frustrating part, right?
Yes.
Like, we all know Bryce Wilson, and we all know the kind of performances that Bryce Wilson is capable of putting up. And outside the Brian Reynolds homer, no one did anything against him. Nothing. They did nothing.
Remember the big joke? Which really wasn't a joke. I mean, honestly, when everyone's like, oh, hammer the over. It's going to be Quinn Priester and Bryce Wilson. Hammer the over. Now, granted, Quinn Priester didn't pitch, right? But like, yeah. Yeah. 3-2. 5 total runs in this game. And a Bryce Wilson start. And he started looking shaky. He has been effective for the Brewers, but that's also as a reliever. He's actually getting a full start. Like, he went 4.1 innings today. You got to get to Bryce Wilson. You have to. Like, this is the game you got to win. Now, granted, they won 2. Like, they're not going to lose a series. It is baseball. But you can't be this bad. This offense is struggling. Again, they've looked better the past few games. This is the one where it's like, all right, Bryce Wilson's there. Let's capitalize. Let's do it. And they looked worse. I felt like they looked worse than they have like in the past 3 games. So yeah, they just weren't able to capitalize. And you talk about the pitching. And like in this comment here, I just want to bring up, you know, like we say Ortiz got the job done. And he had questions, he got the job done. It didn't look good. No, he wasn't good. It was terrible. But he was fortunate enough that it was 1 earned run that he gave up in 2.2 innings. Well, 1 run earned for him, not the Pirates, but 1 run was given up in 2.2 innings. Can you ask for much more than that going into this game, knowing that, hey, we're going to have a bullpen game. It's going to be Fleming to Luis Ortiz to Romanzy Contreras. And knowing that that's going to happen, he's going to go 2.2 and give up 1 earned. Like, yeah, like it wasn't pretty. He didn't pitch effective, but he did get the job done. He only allowed 1 run. This team was in the game. It was 3 runs they had to overcome, and they weren't able to do it. And that's, again, like, that's just this offense, man. It's brutal. It is absolutely brutal, and there's too many people look terrible. We've been talking about OPSs, right? I mean, we've talked about the 505 Tellez, you know, 518 for Henry Davis, Chirillo at 560, Sawinski at 556. I mean, there's 4 guys in your lineup that you kind of need to count on in the 500s, a couple of them coming close to 400 territory.
Yeah. I don't know what else we can say. Like, it's been a really, really rough 9-game stretch for the offense. They've really been able to win that. 2. They've been able to win 2 of those. Yeah. They've been able to win 2 out of those 9 games because of really, really strong pitching performances. It was another decent, like, the pitchers got the job done today, but yeah, you're not 2 runs isn't gonna get it done most days. And it didn't today. And yeah, it's just frustrating because you're not seeing improvement. And it was like today was the opportunity. Bryce Wilson was the opportunity. You looked yesterday you had Tobias something or whatever. Tobias
right,
Myers,
I don't remember,
making his major league debut at like age 26, like, due to just career minor leaguer. And they didn't put it together against him either. Same thing. It was just they put 1 swing on against him yesterday. And now you go into game 4 of this series and you're facing Freddy Peralta. So it's like, you couldn't get the job done against Tobias Myers or Bryce Wilson. Good luck. Here's Freddy Peralta and his 0.76 whip and 33 strikeouts in 23 innings. You know, it's tomorrow could be one of those really frustrating games to watch. But also, with how weird this sport is and how weird the Pirates are, watch tomorrow. True. Tomorrow's the day they break out of it. They probably score like 8 runs.
Right. But we mentioned on Starbucks, for everything that you like about Jared Jones right now, that's what Freddy Peralta is doing. Like, he right now is their version of Jared Jones. So that's this team's facing right now. They are going to face Jared Jones on the mound tomorrow. That just, again, we know the sports, like you mentioned, it can go whatever way, but that just sounds like a recipe for disaster. I'm not doing the post game tomorrow, and I feel pretty good that I'm not right now. So good luck, Jim.
I'm not doing the post game tomorrow.
Oh, it's not you? Okay. Well, whoever
day game, Cody and Ryan.
Oh, that's tomorrow. Right. That's right. That's
day
right.
game crew. Yep.
Yes. But at any rate, 3-2, you know, there were gifted opportunities to stay in this game because the pitching wasn't that great, you know, by Ortiz and Contreras. And you know what? You did mention earlier just by mentioning, but we didn't talk about it. That play, Triolo, the heads up play, throwing it to home, getting it out there. That was big. That was a good heads up. If there's a positive, let's talk about that just a little bit. Because that helped Rowanzi as well. I'll say that. That was some of the opportunities that were afforded by the pitching to keep them in the game, even though they weren't that effective. Guy on the corners, right? Rowanzi throws a terrible pitch up high. Henry Davis throws a strike to second. Triolo just starts running up on it, catches it right back to home, gets the guy out at home plate. That was a huge play there, perfectly executed.
Yeah, Pirates were the only team in Major League Baseball going into today who had not caught a runner stealing. They were 0-for-20 in that category going into today. And today they catch 2 base runners stealing. So they're now, instead of 0-for-20, they're now 2-for-22, DiNardo.
So, there it is.
Which, moving you know on. What? That puts them all the way up to the 27th best team in baseball at throwing runners out. So
let's go.
There we go. Moving on up.
Yeah, it's been terrible, but there you go. So I think we hit our quota on positivity. Check. Anything else we want to talk about for the game?
Nah, not really. It was a bad game. You expect to do better off of Bryce Wilson. That's the frustrating part. And the Brewers, we didn't talk about the ninth inning. The Brewers tried. They tried their hardest to let the Pirates win this game. Back-to-back errors. 2 errors in the ninth inning committed by the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Pirates were not able to capitalize. When you make 2 errors in the ninth inning with a 1-run lead, I can't imagine too many teams keep that 1-run lead, but yeah, the Brewers were somehow able to cling onto that today. Triolo lined out with the 2 runners on, and then McCutchen ended the game striking out. So,
but not looking.
No, at least he was swinging. It's true. Jack Swinski struck out looking earlier in the inning.
That was
on 3 pitches. Though. On 3 pitches.
Well, I guess then with that said, we must go. So everyone, no sandwiches. Sorry. Tomorrow, Freddy Peralta. Faces Mitch Keller. We'll see how it goes. But again, as we mentioned, like the Pirates aren't going to lose the series. So there's that. They did win the first 2. It's still very competitive NL Central. Like when you remove the Cardinals, it's still very competitive. I know the Pirates are in 4th, but they're all right there. So things are still interesting. It's not where you want to see the Pirates right now. I know there's a lot of frustration, but they're still in the thick of it for as much as it goes on April 24th.
So, yeah. I mean, said, even if they lose tomorrow, they're still 500.
Yep. So we'll get out of here. Appreciate you all for watching as always. Any last words, Jim?
No, let's get out of here.
Cotton candy sucks.
Hey, you all, thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.
Life is a highway,
and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.